Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Off the top, brought to you by our friends at JP Roofing and Siding. Ron, I have a six-pack cold ready to go over here if you'd like to open with that, but I'd be remiss if I didn't inquire as to your mental, emotional, and spiritual well-being today, and physical.
Probably I'd say not very good in all of those, but I'm okay. I'm hanging in there.
You excited for the big show?
I am. I'm fired up. We got a lot to talk about today, as we always do. I'm looking forward to it, and you know there's nothing I like better than a nice cold six-pack.
Especially at 10:05 a.m. in 25 seconds.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere in the world, as they say.
I like that saying. Then let's start, Ron. Let's go with the Penguins. I didn't stay up, but I got up this morning and watched it. Little 5 a.m. treat. I didn't look at your text early this morning because I didn't want to know if they won or lost. I didn't look at it till after I was done. I somehow managed to avoid all reference to the game. And man, for two periods, they played exactly the way they wanted to play. Josh Yeo made a couple of basketball references in his piece today, and I agree. It's like with McDavid, it's like holding Michael Jordan down for three quarters, except for a couple great plays maybe. But then when the game matters, there he is. And he wins the game. It didn't matter in the end.
They held them to 13 shots in the first two periods, I believe, right?
Yeah.
13 shots, and then they just took over in the third period. McDavid, a four-point night. He's just special. I mean, you know, he is the best player in the game right now. I mean, I love Sid. Sid's still a great player, but Sid's not as good as he is right now. And he just took over the game, and that's why I remember when he had that big goal against the Rangers where he went 1-on-5, and I text back and forth with Jay Caulfield about it, and Jay goes, the thing that makes it even more amazing is they're down a goal with a couple minutes left, and he makes the play. That's what great players do. They have a sense of timing, right? And he has a sense of timing. As you said, didn't matter the first two periods. They took control of the game in the third.
Very impressed with his work deep in the defensive zone, which is where a lot of his plays started. Not very impressed with some of the Penguins on some of those plays. John Marino, by the way, Marino took one where you never want to take one, Ron. Did you see that?
I did not see that one.
And then Keith Jones. Keith Jones had just told a story about how he only blocked one shot in his career and it went to the other. He was joking. He said, I only blocked one shot in my career, went off my shin pad for an empty net goal. And then 2 minutes later, Marino gets hit in the goalposts, and Jones said, that's why I only blocked one shot in my career. It was painful to watch.
Yeah, I know. And they might have protection, but it's still painful to watch.
And then people just not conscious. I mean, it's Connor McDavid. He's on the ice. You can't get caught deep. And if a defenseman does get caught deep, you got to get back. You got to get back, and you got to get back early. You got to anticipate. It just, all it takes is one split second.
And he's gone.
And that guy
is gone.
He's
you know, unbelievable. Jay mentioned that to us the other day that, you know, you have to be constantly aware of him if you're a D-man, because or else you're going to end up turning your back to the play, just sprinting to your goal because he's going to be by in a split.
What a great passer, too. I mean, just everything about his game. He's the best player in the world. I don't think there's any argument anymore.
Nope.
And he's also the greatest.
And they're winning now. Let's see
showman.
Let's see what they do in the playoffs. That's how he'll be judged. But they're awful formidable right now.
In some ways, that's how he'll be judged. It's not going to change my opinion that he's the best player in the world.
But, I mean, ultimately, you know, as great as Ovechkin was until we won a cup, people Never won a cup. Never won a cup. You know, this right. guy's got to win a playoff series, you know.
It'll hound him. The other great part of that was Zach Hyman thinking he had scored a hat trick and the Hats coming onto the ice, only to have our friend Dr. Saucier. Is that how you pronounce his name, Ron? Andy, is he a doctor? Does he have a doctorate in replay now?
He's a genius at what he does. I know
this guy's incredible. They had to pick up the Hats. I don't know that I've seen that one before. That's replay in sports these days, because right. in a sport that goes 8,000 miles an hour, some guy's skate was lifted the width of a hair above the blue line. But you know what? The Penguins won cups thanks to stuff like that.
Whistle it down, right? That's amazing. No, you're right. He is so good at what he does. And we talk about replay. That's what it is. I mean, the one game when Letang scored in overtime, you want to celebrate the goal, but you got to wait 5 minutes for replay to tell you it's okay to celebrate. It's ridiculous.
Kasperi Kapanen, and this will be our second one here on the six-pack. Yeah, the second can. Somebody might have to open a can on him to get him going here, Ron. What is happening with this guy? He was invisible last night.
He's been invisible most of the year. He had that one game where he had the hat trick. You know, he told one of the Canadian guys, Zeisberger, that I get down and I quit. I mean, just a horrible thing to say. Looks lazy to me. You know, has great skill. Obviously, he has speed. I'm not talking McDavid speed, but he has speed. He's just been a major disappointment all year long.
On this road trip against two very good teams, mind you, Torts had John Tortorella has Calgary winning the cup. They're good. Edmonton is very good, although they were missing four defensemen last night, which might account for the Penguins outplaying them and spending all their time deep in the Edmonton zone for a couple periods. But Kapanen, no points, obviously, and three shots in two games, and he only plays 11:26 last night. Come on, I wouldn't be surprised if this guy gets scratched. I thought the message was sent last season. Does he need another one?
Right, maybe. You know, and I think everybody's probably holding out hope that Malkin's on the trip and skating now, and you know, still probably going to be a week or two before he comes back. But I think everybody has to be hoping that they can find whatever they had last year. They were pretty good together last year. And whether they will be or not this year, but Kapanen has been totally disappointing.
Item number three.
Number three. Now I'm getting warmed up. I like the first two cans.
It gets flowing, doesn't it, Ron?
It starts to flow.
Start to feel good.
Let's go.
Speaking of opening a can, Mike Tomlin with a pad-popping practice and riding his players hard yesterday, Ron. Will it make any difference?
You know, this is one of those ones that it can't hurt. Right? They're not going to be any worse, but I don't know. It still comes down to the players you put out on the field. We've talked about that at length. I mean, you can beat the heck out of those guys, but is that going to make them better players? I don't know. Maybe make them focus a little more, maybe. But, I mean, what else does – he talked about changes. What else can he do but toughen up practices a little bit?
I thought last week was the playoff game. What more can he do this week? Tell me if T.J. Watt is playing, and then
right.
We can talk about pads at practice.
Pads
and
a popping.
The coach yelling at people.
I like that. Pads.
These are professional athletes, Ron. They're professional athletes.
Right. They're not high school kids or college kids.
Here's a treat for you. Number four, Tony Romo has that contract, 10 years, $180 million. Good money if you can find it, right? Troy Aikman, according to Andrew Marchand of the New York Post, he wants Romo money. Is this guy kidding me, Ron?
Good luck. I hope he finds it. Yeah. I mean,
is he that good? He's just another guy to me.
I'm a bad guy to ask because I don't watch those games many times because I'm usually at the Steelers game. But when I have heard Aikman, he doesn't do much for me.
He's okay.
I like Romo, although I liked him a lot more a couple years ago than I do now.
He's gone nuts, Ron. He really has. He's always annoying.
I'll say this. And I say this about James Franklin. I'll say this about anybody. If somebody's willing to pay you that, you're worth it. And if somebody's willing to pay him, he's worth it.
I don't know if I agree with that totally. If somebody's willing to pay you, you take the money. But right. Like a baseball player might make $200 million, but if he doesn't hit, he wasn't worth it.
The Mets just offered Scherzer $43 million a year, 37, not offered, signed. At a 37 for 3 years, they think he's worth it. That makes him worth it to me, even though I don't think he's worth it.
Well, we'll see if he was worth it. I mean, isn't it what happens after the money's delivered?
Right.
Number five, And well, things are really getting, now you're out on the dance floor,
right? I'm
getting
a little bit sad, though.
The shirt's getting, off, you're on the dance floor, you're sweating.
I'm getting a little sad, though, because we're getting down towards the end of the six-pack. And what did you used to have a stash hidden
in college? I was just
going to
say, I might have one in the salad drawer for you, Ron, at 2 a.m.
That'll keep me good, because now I'm sad, like it's almost coming to an end. But go
ahead. Horace, did you do the salad drawer beers when you were back at Clarion, where you thought the party was over, and then the hero of the night, which was usually me at Cortland State, opened up a little secret cabinet, sometimes the salad drawer, sometimes somewhere else, where there was hidden beer, and then there were cheers,
and
the party started anew.
Stash.
The stash. I specialized in that.
That's the only time they ever cheered for you, isn't it?
No, there were other times,
okay,
but we won't talk about those. Ron, number five, Marcus Freeman, defensive coordinator at Notre Dame. 35 years old.
Wow.
No previous head coaching experience.
Wow.
Expected to be named. Now, this is according to various reports, and we've seen coaching situations, not the least of which was the last time the Steelers had a coaching change. Weird things can happen at the last minute, but it looks like he's going to be the guy.
I mean, he's a popular choice around the team, from what I understand, that people that know him, awful young, awful inexperienced, and a big shoes to fill. He's only stepping in for the guy who's the winningest coach in Notre Dame history, even though he didn't win a national title, Brian Kelly. That's a tough job. It's a tough follow, isn't it? It is a tough follow.
But our friend Jesse Washington pointed out that Lincoln Riley had no head coaching experience when he took over at Oklahoma. Dabo Sweeney, no head coaching experience when he took over at Clemson. And the guy who's got the best team in the country, Kirby Smart, was never a head coach when he took over at Georgia. So Mike Tomlin, good example.
Different paths.
You just don't know.
Different paths because, you know, a guy like Brian Kelly, where did he start at? I mean, you know, he was at Cincinnati, somewhere before Cincinnati.
Eastern Michigan,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, I mean, usually you start
Central Michigan.
Usually you start at that level. And maybe in the past you start at that level and work your way up. Now they're going right from, an assistant. This guy was the defensive coordinator at Notre Dame, probably involved heavily in the recruiting, knows everything about the place, about the team. I guess it's a logical choice, but good luck to him.
Yeah, why not? Kirby Smart was the defensive coordinator at Alabama and was doing a great job, and Georgia plucked him. And this will either be a great find or it won't work out, but it seems like everybody around there feels like this is a really good hire.
Tough follow, though.
It is, although he didn't
win
a national title.
Never won a national title.
Isn't that what it's about at Notre Dame?
It used to be. I don't know.
And let's be honest about getting to the college football playoff at Notre Dame. He never had to risk himself in a conference championship game.
Right.
Not one time.
Right. You're right.
You're going to watch Michigan go out there against Iowa. Michigan, in my mind, has earned the Big Ten championship. They should be going to the college football playoff. Now they got to go for a made-for-TV special and put it on the line against Iowa. Notre Dame never had to do that. I mean, he did a really good job there. But it's a different ball game when you don't have to risk it. But it is. It's big shoes to fill. I don't like Brian Kelly, but he did a great job at Notre Dame.
All right, now the sad part. Go ahead. Number six, the sixth and final game.
Saving this one for you, Ron. And I might have a little stash for you.
Okay, sounds good to me.
You can text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. I'm in a really good mood today, Ron. You know why? I actually exercised yesterday for the first time in months.
Makes you feel better.
I think it released endorphins. Something happened.
I walked this morning. I'm glad I did, but makes you feel a little better.
What time was your walk?
I walk every morning from like 6:30 to 7:30.
Nice job. You can text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. You can follow us on Twitter at 93.7TheFan, driven by Jim Shorkey Kia, Pittsburgh's number one Kia dealer with locations in Wexford, North Huntington, and Uniontown. Visit ShorkeyKia.com. I also had an incredible grilled cheese yesterday, Ron. How do you like the grilled cheese?
I love grilled cheese.
Do you like it in the pan where you have the cheese between the bread and you just cook it in butter, or do you like it open-faced?
My mother gave me a George Foreman grill, and I make toasted cheese, grilled cheese in there. They're fabulous.
Aren't they?
Yeah, I love them.
It's a life changer.
You put pickles on them? What do you put anything on?
No, just the cheese. And the bread winds up being a little buttered because it was sautéed on the pan.
Yeah, when George Foreman, I got to put both sides of butter. But
yes.
I like to put a little bit of sweet butter chip pickles on there.
Nice. The time right now, 10:18, brought to you by Goodrich & Geist. Get the good guys, Goodrich & Geist, Pittsburgh's personal injury attorneys. Horse, are you game for a good grilled cheese now and again?
Yes.
Chips on the side?
Really want one.
Yeah. Well, why don't we order them for lunch? My treat. Grilled cheese is for everyone.
Sounds good.
We'll get to can number 6 next in Ron's six pack. And this one really has me perplexed. Let's put it that way. I have no idea what the purpose of this is, but I guess there is one. I'll tell you about it next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You caught us in the middle of our Thursday morning six pack. We've only put 5 down. We're on number 6 here, Ron, and this one just baffles me. It just seems so silly, but I guess it had to happen from the owner's perspective. They locked out the players in Major League Baseball at 12:01 a.m., even though there's no games happening right now. They also wiped all mention of players and photos from players from the MLB website, from what I understand.
That'll show
them. That'll teach them, won't it?
That'll really get to
them. That'll teach them. And there's no communication right now between team officials and players. They cannot communicate in any way, shape, or form. Who's right here, and when does it resolve itself?
Well, I certainly don't think it's going to be resolved before next April, when you start to have the risk of missing games, maybe, you know, the run-up to spring training. It just, the owners say, oh, this will make the players realize we're serious about this. They don't care.
They do not care.
They do not care. I mean, and I don't think most fans care anymore. Maybe they'll care if the games aren't played next April, but this has been predicted for over a year that this was going to happen. And then even last year, when they were trying to get started with COVID and everything, and they couldn't even agree on the most basic stuff, these two sides don't like each other, have no trust in each other, no respect for each other. They dislike each other. Everybody's making a lot of money. But I guess everybody wants to make a little bit more. So players want, what, free agency after 5 years now instead of after six?
Yeah.
I mean, the players have it pretty good, I would think. But the owner's obviously rolling in the dough, too. So nothing will happen until there has to be a decision made around before you lose games. Both sides already have lost because of the pandemic. You would think they'd find a way to meet in the middle. But with these two sides, no guarantees. Won't surprise me at all if they're not playing games next April.
Pre-pandemic, revenues continued to skyrocket every single year in baseball, and salaries suddenly came to a standstill. And that, to me, was the owners really, I won't say colluding, although some people would, in terms of what they were going to spend. And what I think is that there's already a salary cap in baseball. There already is. The players want it raised. But the competitive balance threshold is $210 million, okay? One team went over that last year. One. Teams don't spend. Even the big spenders have made their way under that. And the players want that up to $245 million,
right,
of course. And the players, I don't blame them for wanting to go to free agency faster and wanting arbitration 1 year sooner. I see no reason why a team such as the Pirates should be able to control a guy for 6 years when they reach the majors. Why? A guy can become a star and sacrifice the best years of his career and never hit free agency. It reminds me of the NFL system. You know, right. It's almost like you have to survive 6 years before you can finally go out on the open market. That strikes me as wrong.
And the players want some sort of system that will eliminate tanking. You know, all these teams like the Pirates just totally tanking. They want to get a system that won't have that. I don't know what that system's going to be.
There is none. Do you think there is?
No, I don't. No, not unless there's some sort of minimum floor where you got to spend, and the players won't ever agree with that because they're afraid a floor will tie into a cap, and
right,
they don't want that.
A lottery system they've talked about for the bottom three teams? Maybe. I don't know. But you can't guarantee that anyway. In other words, this season you had teams vying for the bottom. Right?
Every year.
And they didn't know if they were going to finish 1, 2, 3, or 5.
Right.
So just because there's uncertainty about whether you'll get that pick won't stop teams from tanking. Didn't stop the Penguins. Of course, they didn't get Ovechkin. They wound up with a nice consolation prize in Malkin.
Yep.
But a lottery is not going to solve that problem.
Do you think anything will be done before next spring? I don't.
No. Deadlines are the only things.
Right.
Missed paychecks are the only things that work in
and
this situation.
And missed revenue coming in for the owners.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, their paychecks are the ones that come from
TV
parking and tickets and TV and everything
and
else.
All the media stuff.
I don't know how it works with the TV. Do they still get money? I mean, are those lockout-proof TV contracts?
I don't know.
It
would be, right? Don't you have to have product to get paid,
I would think.
They're not going to just give you all this money. If that was the case, the owners would never have any reason to settle, right?
Well, you're still missing out on every other bit of revenue,
yeah,
but that's drives the game.
I guess.
Yeah, that drives the
it's
game.
It's not like hockey,
TV,
though. Hockey's ticket-driven.
Right.
Major League Baseball's all the other streams.
Do you see anything in here that's going to fix the game? I mean, hockey owners had a good reason to lock out the players,
absolutely,
and they wound up fixing their sport in a lot of ways.
No.
I don't see that's on the line here for either side.
And I see Manfred said today nothing on the field has been talked about, you know, whether universal DH.
Nobody really cares
rules,
about that
the
stuff.
The rules of starting a guy at second base in extra innings. I mean, all this stuff has to be negotiated, and he said they haven't even started. They got a long road ahead. And when both sides totally distrust the other, it's very difficult to get something done.
Having said that, all the other sports have had work stoppages since 1990. This sport hasn't. So we'll see. We'll see what happens between now and opening day. I have a feeling that maybe a week or two into the season, you'll see them suddenly, magically come to a solution here. Do you think a season gets wiped out?
I think it absolutely could. I think the Players Association is that strong. They're not going to cave. I don't know about the owners, but you know, I'm hopeful that come February 1st, they're going to want to get started with spring training so they don't miss any games. I'm hoping that's the deadline more than April 1st when the games start.
I just don't see the prize as worthy enough for players to actually say, yeah, I'm willing to set out a season. Over what? over an extra year of, over getting to free agency earlier and one less year of arbitration? No, I don't see that.
I do think, Joe, that they're strong enough to do it, though. You know, maybe more things involved than just those, but they're strong enough to sit out. They've done it before.
When? They haven't had a work stoppage since 1990.
Well, I mean, back, you know, they eliminated a World Series at one point, right? When was that? I thought that was in the 90s.
Was that night?
Didn't they eliminate?
I don't know. I just read ESPN said they haven't had a work stoppage since 90.
Maybe it was in the A. I thought it was.
Or maybe
in the
a 90s. Lockout since 90. Maybe yeah. It was the, whatever it was a long, long time ago. I'll. Do they have to vote on it like the players, or just does the people running it?
Hopefully more will vote on it than the football players. They didn't 500 of them not even bother to vote?
I'll be surprised if this generation of baseball players says, I'm willing to give up an entire season of paychecks so that the guys after me can get one extra, can get to free agency earlier. I agree it's a strong union, but if they have a say in it, I'll be shocked.
You're right. We'll see.
It just doesn't seem like it wouldn't be worth it to me. What do I care about the next guy if he gets to free agency?
It's all about your needs.
Isn't it that with everybody?
It sure is. You know, I see Scherzer's on the committee, right? He's looking at a $43 million salary next year. You think he's going to vote sit out all
no.
year?
No. Now, if there was a great reason to, then maybe, but I don't see that as something that a 27-year-old baseball player is going to say, yeah, I'll sacrifice a season from my career. So, you know, Bubba Chandler, 3 years, 8 years from now for the Pirates, can go to free agency 1 year earlier or arbitration 1 year earlier. I don't know.
Baseball's a mess. People just have lost interest in it. It's just a mess.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. All right, Ron. Headline in the Post-Gazette today, how Kenny Pickett's Heisman campaign helped propel Pitt back to glory? Ron, what am I missing here? They're having a nice season. I'm not sure they're back to the glory days. They won the Coastal Division.
Yeah, I know. The glory days are national titles and an 11-1 seasons. And, you know, maybe this will be the start.
I enjoyed that column thoroughly.
I did write about it. Is this a one and done because of Pickett, or is this something you can really build on? You know, Narduzzi, well, this is a gold mine in this place. We'll see. We'll see. I agree with the headline. A glory, return to glory. I'm not quite ready to go there.
I'm not there yet, and I tend to agree with your column because I don't know that you're going to get another season where you don't play a single ranked team and nobody
you're
else.
Favored in every game.
Yeah, and where you're favored by more than a field goal in every game. And for the most part, they got the job done. If you're willing to look past losing at home as a 15-point and a 9-point favorite, those are two pretty big upset losses at home. But they went on the road. They had some quality wins. They won 10 games. Good for them, but I'm with you on that. I'm with you on the column. And glory days, there's a little bit of a ways to go before I would phrase it quite like that. All right, Ron. Coming up, Jerry Dulac in his Post-Gazette mailbag kind of broke some news, really. If you consider the sources that he has, if this is true, to me, this was gigantic Steelers news. Let's talk about it next. You can watch live video what's going on in the studio. Take a look at 93.7thefan.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Go to shows and go to live video. Steelers cracking the pads yesterday at practice.
Pads a-poppin'. I love that. Pads up. Was that Keith Jackson that said it? Pads a-poppin'.
You think that rises the level of play from Archibong? I do, Ron. The pads are popping. I think he's going to be Warren Sapp in this game.
How about Devin Bush? Is it going to rise his game up?
Well, I wrote about that this morning at the Post-Gazette, but Jerry Dulac yesterday had his chat, and here's the first question. To me, this is news, actually. The person calls themselves Yinzer in Virginia. You like that, Ron?
Uh-huh. They're everywhere.
Who gets shut down for the season first, Ben or Najee? Jerry says neither. As long as they're healthy, they will play till the end. And somebody else asked him later in the mailbag about Ben and basically said he's playing to the end, no matter what, so long as he's healthy, obviously. What do you make of that?
I'm not surprised. I mean, I think that's the plan. Again, I worry every time he gets hit, and if I was betting, will he make it through the season, I would probably bet no. But I think if he is healthy, they're going to play him and ride him out until the end. And, you know, I think they know what they have with Mason, that they like it or don't like it. I think they're just going to go the rest of the way with
Ben. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I have no problem with that. I have no problem with
that. Why would you play Ben in the last three games if you're out of it? What would be the point?
I guess I'm going to try to win as much as I can. I guess that might alter the tanking mode, but I have no problem with that.
I do.
I think they know what they have in Mason, and I don't know if they like it or not. We'll find out.
Wouldn't you want to find out more over three – over? He's never – when was the last time he played more than one game in a row? Wouldn't you want to find out in a three- or four-game?
A couple in Ben's elbow year, maybe. I'd have to look back. And Duck maybe. Ended up taking over.
Maybe, yeah. He definitely started a couple. I think that would be just appeasing Ben. I don't see the point in that. I'd much rather get a look at my next guy. Plus, you get him a bunch of reps, real-time reps. They may or may not know what they have. But if there are reps available in a lost season for next year's starter, I think it would be derelict of duty to throw Ben out there when you're basically eliminated from the playoffs.
And we can agree to disagree, and I still don't know that he's going to be able to finish the season, though. Maybe point may be made for them.
It might, but right now, if that's their thinking, I strongly disagree. How about you at 412-928-9370, 928-9370? Here's the other guy, Johnny Sack, he called himself, Ron. You like that nickname?
I do like that.
Ben came back for a Super Bowl run, and now that it's over, why not turn to Rudolph and Haskins, evaluate the now, and don't waste next year doing it? I'm 90% sure both don't have it, but now's the time. That I disagree with. Now is not the time. But Jerry says, hate to disappoint you, that's not going to happen. What about Haskins? Wouldn't you like to get a look at him?
Everything I hear about him is bad. They don't like what they've seen from him in practice. What was the story before the one game? He was on his phone and fooling around. I mean, that doesn't mean he can't play and be good. You know, I would probably want to see him as much as I want to see Mason, because I don't know what I have in him.
Yeah, and plus, if indeed it does reduce your chance of winning, I'm not sure that would be a terrible thing either. I mean, that would be the perfect ruse.
The tanking part, right?
Yeah, but in this case, even if it's either guy, I think it's very legitimate to get – I mean, if they think, and a lot of people believe this, that Mason is their guy next year, I just can't imagine not giving him reps with a lot of the players, that young offensive line. It's like a free preseason for him. It just send him into next season, only if you're eliminated. I definitely agree with that, but I just can't imagine how that would be a wise decision.
Let's see how it plays out, and maybe they won't be eliminated, although after that game Sunday, you sure have to think they're going to be, right? And what happens if they lose this game? Jeez Louise.
Well, they'll still hang around probably, right?
Right, for at least for a while.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised
if they did. Because
they
still have division games.
The thing is, nobody else in their division is any good. Maybe the Bengals are. I don't know. Are they good? I don't know.
I mean,
what are they?
The Ravens' record is good, but are they good or are they lucky? Are they resilient or a combination of all three?
I think the Ravens are going to lose some games. I think the Bengals are going to lose some games. Maybe the Bengals are good. I don't know. They play the Chargers this weekend at home. We'll see what happens there. Both those teams have been sort of maddening in some ways. And they got the Niners, who are resurgent. Then they go into Denver to play horses, Broncos. And they got Baltimore, Kansas City, and at Cleveland. I don't know. They just lost to the Jets like a month ago. followed by a 41-16 loss to Cleveland. Maybe they got it together during the break.
I'm not
Maybe
sure
they
they're
did.
Good. I'm not sure they're really good. I just think they might be the best in that division.
They might.
I'm not sure that they're that good. I don't think anybody in the AFC is that good. Maybe your New England Patriots now.
I think the Steelers are going to hang around in this game. The last I saw, it was 3.5. What's the last point spread you saw?
I thought it was 3.
3?
Yep.
I wouldn't be surprised. Obviously, wouldn't be surprised if they beat the Ravens. They've beaten the Ravens with Charlie Batch. They've given him good games
it's
with
the
Dennis,
NFL.
Dennis Dixon.
Whenever you think nothing good can happen, it happens.
It's also Steelers-Ravens, and most of the games are close. No matter the circumstances, they could show up. Who's the guy they pulled off the couch one year and beat a good Steeler team? Who was that stiff? Ryan Mallett.
The quarterback. Yeah,
Ryan
that's right.
Blanking Mallett.
There's a name out of the
Should
place.
Have cost the Steelers. If Sexy Rexy doesn't win the next week, right?
Right.
Then the Steelers are eliminated from the playoffs, and that would have cost Tomlin one of his 3 playoff wins in the last decade.
Interesting.
They had their season was on the line against Ryan Mallett.
I forgot
and
about
he beat
Ryan
him.
Mallett. You know, it wouldn't surprise me, though, if they win this week and then lose at Minnesota.
Yeah, not at all.
That would totally. Everybody will be hepped up if they beat Baltimore. They're going good, and then they'll lose at Minnesota.
Yeah.
That wouldn't surprise me at all.
They've given the Ravens good games with Dennis Dixon, Charlie Batch. They beat him with Charlie Batch. Byron Leftwich, they gave him a good game. You know, and the opposite was true, like I just said. So, and it's fair to point out that the Ravens are missing stud players like Ronnie Stanley and Marcus Peters.
This one feels different.
And J.K.
to me, though,
Dobbins.
Doesn't it?
It does. Something feels very bad.
It doesn't feel like it's a Steelers Ravens. It just feels like it's another game.
It does, doesn't it?
All the characters are gone. The first two.
Except Ben.
Every time the schedule come out, the first two games I'd look for, when are they playing Baltimore? When are they playing Baltimore?
Yeah.
Now it's here and it just doesn't feel that special.
Yeah, I went back and looked for this piece I did today, the gist of which was, yes, there are some effort problems, namely Devin Bush. Yes, there are scheme problems, but come on. This is more about talent than anything else. And go back and look at some of these games they've played against the Ravens. I mentioned this yesterday. Look at last year's game. They went into Baltimore and won. They gave up a bunch of yards rushing. You know what Stephon Tuitt did in that game? 9 tackles, 3 tackles for loss, 2 sacks. You don't think they miss
Wouldn't
him?
Would you like to see him on Sunday?
Bud Dupree, sack and a forced fumble. Vinnie Williams played a good game. Bob Spillane, team leading 11 tackles and an interception for a touchdown.
And Highsmith had the interception too, didn't he?
He did. I mean, he's still here, but the guys that they're missing,
right?
They're no longer here. How about the Christmas Miracle game of 2016?
That was the Antonio extension play.
They had Antonio Brown. They had a prime Le'Veon Bell. They had a younger, lethal Ben. They had a veteran, solid offensive line. This is just a different team. They were good then. They're not now.
All things change, right? That's the only thing we can count on in this life is change.
Well, they didn't do a good job of making the changes that needed to be made.
Right.
The transition has not been smooth, and the offensive line is a place you could start. Plus, they have an older, worn-down, ordinary Ben. And that's as big as any issue, right?
That is as big as any issue.
Compared to that guy back in 16. And really, that was Le'Veon Bell's year. That was the year he just took over down the stretch. You had Ryan Shazier was a defensive player of the year candidate. It's now they have Joe Schobert and Devin Bush.
And Archibong.
They do have Archibong.
They do have Archibong.
I'm going to write a column tomorrow that I think Archibong should be converted to inside linebacker.
They signed another defensive lineman. I don't Adams or somebody. I guess it was the Saints.
The Adams early. Family. Maybe they signed Thing, Ron. You think so?
I don't think so.
Was Thing the little hand?
I think, yeah. The hand that came out of the box.
So. Yeah, the Ralph Kiner statue over at PNC Park.
Oh, man.
All right. Any minute now, Chris Hoke will come bounding in here.
He will bound into the building with all his energy.
Think about those defenses compared to this one. Chris Hoke was a backup, and when he came in and played, they went 15-1.
Right.
You talk about high-quality depth. You want to go through some of those teams? Aaron Smith, Casey Hampton, Chris Hoke as a backup. Who on the other end, Ron? Help
Brett
me out
Kiesel.
Here. Brett Kiesel. Harrison, Woodley, Ferrier, Foote. Taylor, Clark, Polamalu. Oh, my God, Ron.
A little different.
Just
but
a little.
Those guys got old, too, and fell off. The defense at the end under Dick LeBeau was horrible.
It was.
Maybe not as bad as this.
It was.
It was horrible.
Yes.
And some of those guys you mentioned were on that defense.
No doubt. But so. Even the defense at the beginning of last year, I don't think, like, there was a little, there were some rough moments, but I thought they built back a pretty good defense.
And then guys get hurt. And, I mean, you know, Shazier's
injury. The Tua situation.
The first
Shazier,
one. That's the one that might have hurt more than anything.
Bad draft picks in the secondary over and over and over again. The Melvin Ingram situation. All of this contributes to what you see now. And they can hit in pads and try as hard as they want and scheme up a storm. They got Hank Mondo running around out there. You like him, Ron?
I do. He tries.
Seems like a nice man.
He gives it his all.
All right, Chris Hoke coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.